This is my home, and with my whole heart, I'm ready to serve. And my pledge to you is that I will hit the ground running day one. Los Angeles is the greatest city on earth, and I know if we come together, if we hold each other accountable, if we focus on the best of who we are and what we can achieve, we will create better neighborhoods today and a better future for our children.
LA's mayor-elect Karen Bass in her first address to the city today. She is the first woman and the second Black person to be elected mayor of Los Angeles. When she takes office in about a month, she'll be in charge of navigating our city through some very difficult issues. A growing homeless population, 42,000 people, a city council still reeling from that racist recording last month on top of multiple corruption scandals there, and general frustration among voters that the city just is not functioning the way it should. Joining me to talk about this is Carrie Cavanaugh. She's an editorial writer for the LA Times and also a former news producer here at KCRW. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Great to have you. All right, so her opponent, Rick Caruso, spent more than $100 million of his own money on this campaign, so around 11 times what she spent, and yet she won. So how did she prevail?
I think part of it is she is known. She has a record. She has a reputation. And that means a lot, I think, to people in Los Angeles. When you've seen someone around doing the work, it has some resonance, whereas Rick Caruso, I mean, his properties are known, but I don't know if he had the same sort of trust and established credentials that Karen Bass had.
Right. And so in which particular areas of the city do you think that she outperformed him in, or was it just citywide?
No, I mean, the LA Times has a map that shows what communities, what neighborhoods went for Bass and which went for Caruso. And there's a pretty clear, you know, downtowns, South Los Angeles, portions of Eastern Los Angeles definitely went for Bass. The San Fernando Valley largely went for Caruso. And by the way, I mean, this wasn't like 80% went for Bass or 80% went for Caruso in a lot of these neighborhoods. A lot of times it was, you know, 50%, 60%, 40%. It's very close in a lot of these communities. So it wasn't. While Caruso did better in the Valley and some, maybe, you know, some of the more traditionally conservative areas of the city, it wasn't a landslide for either person in any community.
Interesting. So what does that tell you about the state of Los Angeles and where we are as a city politically?
Well, I think it means that there's a lot of concerns, and that the core issues kept coming up over and over again. Homelessness, housing affordability, public safety. And when Rick Caruso and Karen Bass, when you'd ask them these questions, largely their solutions were pretty similar. They were different in sort of the scale of their answers to it, the tone of how they talked about these issues and some of their priorities. But even when they talked about their solutions, they were similar. So I think for voters, a lot of the question was like, well, who do I trust in this moment, rather than significant differences on policy?
Right. And so there was the supposition that perhaps this was a change year for a change, an outsider candidate, a throw the bums out kind of idea, not only nationally, but locally, and especially when you factor in the city council corruption scandals and also that racist recording being released, that perhaps that would have worked in Rick Caruso's favor, but obviously it didn't.
It did not. And that will be really interesting to understand why that didn't resonate with people. I mean, again, Karen Bass isn't exactly an insider. I mean, she's an established longtime politician, but she's not somebody who comes from City Hall. So she is an insider, but not exactly an insider. But for a while, it really did look like Rick Caruso was going to turn it with all the money he spent and the ads and the way he targeted specific communities. It really did look like he was going to turn it, but the electorate did not go for it.
Right. Well, let's talk about her number one issue, problem facing her and the city of Los Angeles, and that is homelessness. And she wants to declare a state of emergency, and that's what she said, on her first day in office. What would that do?
That's an excellent question, because this idea of declaring a state of emergency has been around Los Angeles since 2015. The city council, Mayor Garcetti, they all said they were going to declare a state of emergency. First Governor Jerry Brown and then Governor Newsom both rejected that idea. What Karen Bass says now that, well, I'm a different politician, I have a different idea. And the idea being that if she gets these, you know, the governor, and she says she's going to talk to the president about a state of emergency, that that will free up money. It will free up sort of regulatory burdens that make it harder to build housing and homeless shelters. We will see. We will see what happens. The key thing is that she actually has to declare it. If I recall, the city council and Mayor Garcetti said they were going to declare emergency. I don't think they ever actually did.
Okay. Well, she has promised to find interim or permanent housing for 17,000 unhoused people in her first year. Caruso had promised something similar for 30,000 people. So can she do it? It still sounds ambitious, 17,000 people.
It's very ambitious. It's very ambitious. And there is still the question of where to put, well, first of all, what kind of shelter? And Karen Bass has been very clear on the campaign trail. She congregate shelter, sort of cramming bodies into big warehouse-like spaces, is not the solution. People don't want to go into those types of facilities. So she's been very clear about trying to get more humane sort of shelters and then temporary housing and permanent housing. But the property, the funding, the approvals, it is a huge lift. And she has wisely said that she cannot do it alone. She'll need the county, she'll need the state, and probably even the federal government. But it's a really heavy lift.
Yeah. Well, wish her well on that. And fingers crossed that she'll be able to do it. Let's also talk about how she plans to restore faith in City Hall after this racist recording was released. What's her plan there?
You know, I don't think I've heard a specific plan, but to her credit, in the days after that leaked audio was revealed, she did call a sort of community panel from the Latino community, the Black community, from faith leaders, from labor leaders, kind of called them all together and had a session to talk about ways to respond. And that is Karen Bass's strength. She is a coalition builder, a collaborator. She's a person who has spent her entire career bringing people together to try and solve problems. So she really is, this is her moment to sort of rise to that, to the remarks that we heard on those audio and the divisiveness and to really do some healing. So that is her strength. What she will do exactly, I do not know.
Yeah, especially as the city council is tilting leftward, there are some council members elect who have been critical of Bass, especially on policing and public safety issues. So is she going to face some significant opposition on the council?
Yeah, it's sort of fascinating that she was at one time deemed too left-leaning to be President Biden's vice president, and she may turn out to be sort of a moderate mayor in a council that has gone further left. She may butt heads with folks on some of these policies, particularly the size of the police department, hiring police officers and public safety spending priorities. That will be really interesting to see what pushback she gets on that. But again, I mean, her MO is pragmatic solutions and consensus building. So there's definitely a pathway there. And I think within city government, even there's a sort of consensus building about how the city wants to address public safety through the police department, but also alternatives to policing, crime prevention, other investments in that area.
All right, Carrie Cavanaugh, editorial writer for the LA Times. Carrie, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, the World Cup is beginning in Qatar in split screen this weekend. Joyous play on the field, off the field, human rights abuses. That's next on Press Play.